In the dim and distant past, when life's tempo wasn't fast, mother used to rock and knit, crochet, tat, and babysit. And when we were in a jam, we could always call on dear old Graham. Grandma now is in the gym, exercising to keep slim. Now she's golfing with the bunch, taking clients out to lunch. She traveled northward to ski and curl. All her days are in a whirl. Nothing seems to stop or block her now that Grandma's off her rocker. I saw an article, and maybe you've seen it, and it's almost unbelievable. Here it is. Biden-era CIA report tied support of motherhood homemaking to white supremacist ideology. My. The Biden administration CIA report, October 2021, is titled Women Advancing White, Racially and Ethically Motivated Violent Extremist Radicalization and Recruitment. That's a long title for a foolish report. It says, it warned about motherhood and homemaking in one paragraph. Now, this document has redactions, things that are blacked out. So there's a group. It says in one paragraph, a warning about a redacted group. It's not. I don't know who it is. Don't have a clue. But listen to this. What it says about this redacted group. It is said that the group had lauded motherhood and homemaking as women's most important responsibility. My, what a radical idea. How extremist is that? Now, I want to tell you, the left has gone off the rails. I can't believe some of the things we hear, and I can hardly believe this. And so the left has tried to redefine marriage, and two men can be married, or two ladies can be married, they say. But in Genesis 1:27, the Bible says, God created them in His own image, male and female, He created them. Male and female created He them. Why did He do that? Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, God blessed them and God said unto them. First command given to the first couple, what is it? Be fruitful and multiply. Marriage is so very important. Marriage is the foundation for the family. The roles of mother and father are so very important. You cannot have a balanced family with two men or two women. I understand the sincerity of some of those folks, but you can't do it. It's a man and a woman. There's perfect balance. And we're not the same. We're different, but we mesh together so well. And the purpose of it is procreation. But today, the left says gender is fluid. It's not fixed. And what your chromosomes might indicate, or your biology, may not be true. That's what they say. That's all nonsensical. They say that the men who can't compete with men can call themselves women and compete with the women. Well, let me ask you this. Why is there a distinction between men and women's sports anyway? And the world says to you ladies, you don't have to do this. You don't have to take this responsibility. Think about yourself. You can terminate that pregnancy. Or you should have affordable, better yet, you should have free child care. Anybody can take care of your children. You should have free child care. You know why? It's a right in the Constitution. Really? Is that right? And currently, the birth rate in the United States of America is 1.6. It needs to be 2.1 for replacement value, and we're not at replacement value. I want to say to you that motherhood is not an extreme position. And the traditional roles of mother and father, that's not extreme at all. That's biblical, that's right. And we who have been raised in a good family, maybe you weren't raised in the best of families, but God has given you understanding, revelation, and you can make good decisions. But those of us raised in families that were good families, what we'd consider good families, we have been so blessed by that. And the foundation of our country is good families. The foundation of our local church is based largely upon good families. Families where men and women understand their roles and endeavor to do what God would have them to do. It's so very important. It's not minimal, and it's not extreme, and it's not negative. It's right, and it's good. Now, in the New Testament, Timothy is a significant figure. He really is. He was used of the Lord. And he was Paul's companion. In fact, Paul referred to him as my own son in the faith, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2. But Timothy is introduced in Acts chapter 16. And I want you to notice when he's introduced, notice what is said about Timothy. Look at it. Verse 1, Acts chapter 16, verse 1. Let's go back for just a moment and get it in context. Look at chapter 15, verse 40. And this is the beginning of Paul's second missionary journey. It says, "And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren under the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a disciple there named Timotheus." Watch this. "The son of a woman, which was a Jewish and believed, but his father was a Greek." Now notice what is said. Timotheus, he's the son of a certain woman. She's of Jewish lineage, but it says, and believed. She's a believer. She's a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. She's a believer. But then you read, but his father. Now, but is contrary. But goes in another direction. But his father was a Greek. Now, the fact that she was of a Jewish heritage and he was of a Greek heritage, that is not of great significance, but he's not listed as a believer. She's said to be a believer. He's not said to be a believer. You know, sometimes things should better be left unsaid. But there's a lot there in what is not said. It says she's a believer, and then it says, but he was a Greek. Doesn't say he was a believer. And it seems to be confirmed in what is said about Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1. So here Timothy is introduced, and I want you to notice his mother was a believer. Now, Timothy certainly was greatly used, and Paul put a lot of time into him, and others did as well. But he was greatly used, and you have two books in your New Testament named for Timothy. They're Paul's letter to Timothy, or his two letters to Timothy. And so Timothy was greatly used of the Lord. Timothy is significant in the New Testament. And who influenced his life? His mother influenced his life. This morning, I want to impress upon you, all of you, the importance of mother's influence. Timothy is introduced in Acts chapter 16, verse 1. Now take your Bibles and find 2 Timothy chapter 1. Look at verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Are you there? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus." Now watch this. "To Timothy, my dearly beloved son." So Timothy had godly men that influenced him in his life. Most notably, Paul the Apostle. But notice, Paul commends Timothy for his faith in verse 5. Listen to this. Paul writes to young Timothy, he says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that in thee also." When I remember the unfeigned faith that is in thee, unfeigned, that means no pretense, no hypocrisy. It means I remember the genuine faith, your sincere faith. "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee." So Timothy is known for his faith. Oh, faith is so very important. Don't you know that? Faith is really so very operative in the New Testament. "For by grace are you saved through faith. The just shall live by faith." We walk by faith and not by sight. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. And so Timothy is commended for his unfeigned faith, his genuine, his sincere faith. But where did he get it? Well, largely from his mother and his grandmother. Look at it, what Paul said. "Which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice." So his grandmother Lois also had a sincere faith in the Lord Jesus. And so did his mother, Eunice. And I want you to notice, Paul says first. It was in them first, now it's in you. They imparted this faith to young Timothy, and apparently without the direct influence of Timothy's father. The influence of a godly mother cannot be overstated. Timothy was influenced by his mother and his grandmother. My mother departed in 2017, and I miss her very much. No one influenced me in my life like her, and nobody loved me like she did. I am thankful for the memory of my mother. I'm thankful for both of my grandmothers. Both of them encouraged me in the Lord. I didn't pay much attention to them at the time, but both of them wanted me to do well. I'm grateful for the mother of my children. She has greatly influenced me, and I think every husband and father in this room would say, my wife is a great influence in my life. I'm grateful for my daughters because my daughters, my daughter-in-law, they're the mothers of my grandchildren. And motherhood is all around me. And I thank and praise God for the mothers that have influenced my life. Now, in verse 5 of chapter 1, 2 Timothy, Timothy is noted for his unfeigned faith, and it was first in his grandmother and his mother. Now, how did they pass this faith to Timothy? Go, please, to chapter 3 and look at verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. And this ugly list goes on for several verses. Then you come down to verse 13, it says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now here's instruction to Timothy. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, but Timothy, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So Timothy, you learned certain things, and from where did you get these things? Look at verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto every good work. Now notice, Timothy, continue in the things which thou hast learned, and from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. From a little child, Timothy was taught about the scriptures. He was taught about the Bible, and he learned things from the Bible. And Paul says, even in perilous times, even with evil men and seducers all about you, listen, continue in the things that you know. Christian, may I say that to you today? With this changing world and the left and all the nonsense and craziness that we hear every day, listen, continue in the things that you've learned, knowing of whom you've learned them. And from a child, thou hast known the scriptures. Maybe you didn't learn the scriptures as a child, but you've got opportunity to learn them now. And listen, let's stand fast and let's be steadfast. Be ye steadfast is my theme for this year. But let's back up. Timothy had certain things he knew because he was taught from the Bible. Well, who taught him? Look at verse 14. It says, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Well, apparently, as we read, Paul was a great influence in Timothy's life. No doubt he taught Timothy many things. Very likely there were other believers that taught Timothy many things. But in chapter 1, most notably is mentioned his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. They taught him many things. And I say to you again, even in circumstances that are not ideal, the influence of a godly mother cannot be overstated. Now, in 2 Timothy, it is apparent that Timothy's mother influenced him greatly. No one can influence children like mother. Mother is the first teacher in their lives. Mother spends the most time with them. And mother loves them unconditionally. Oh, she requires good behavior of them, and she's a disciplinarian, but she loves them unconditionally. They learn about unconditional love from mom. And so mom influences her children, but may I say to you, she also influences her husband, even if he's unsaved. Let me read to you another passage, and then we're going to pray. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. So in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, you have there a believing wife, a mother, and an unbelieving husband. Now that's not ideal. Ideally, a husband and a wife should be believers. They should be equally yoked, ideally. We had baby dedication a couple of weeks back, and we had 9 couples to dedicate their children, but we had one grandmother to dedicate her granddaughter, if you remember, and I appreciate that. So ideally, we had nine couples, 9 men, 9 women who say, I know the Lord Jesus, and I'm going to do my very best to commit my child to the Lord and teach my child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. What a blessing! But many times, it's not quite like that. And listen, people should be equally yoked together spiritually, but you've got to understand something. If someone marries the wrong one is now the right one. So that's the situation. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. So the wives influence their husbands. Now, how do they do that? By their conversation. What kind of conversation? Verse 2, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Chaste, virtuous, godly, purity. Verse 3, whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold and putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. Now listen to this. Which is in the sight of God of great price. So the woman, the wife, who submits to her husband and influences him by her conversation, her chaste conversation, and her adorning is not focused exclusively on the outward, but more so on the inward, the hidden man of the heart, the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, the Bible says she is in the sight of God of great price. Can you get the weight of that? God says this woman is very valuable. She is to me of great price. Why is that? Because she's so influential. She's not always out front. She's not always getting accolades. She's not always getting noticed. But what she does is so influential and so very important. And the Lord says she is of great price to me. Consider the influence of a mother. Our Father in heaven, we come before you today and we thank you for your goodness to us in every way. We thank you for the privilege we have to assemble here in worship. I thank you, Father, for the fellowship I enjoy with like-minded individuals. I thank you for the privilege of having visitors and guests here today. And we've assembled around your word and I ask you to speak to us from the Bible. I ask you to teach us. I ask you to give us Holy Spirit understanding. I do thank you for the men and women in this room, and I really want the sons and daughters to be what they should be, and husbands and fathers to be what they should be. But it is Mother's Day, and I ask you, Father, to bless these dear ladies. I ask you to work in their lives. I ask you to encourage them. I pray the Holy Spirit would motivate them to continue to do the things that they know they are to do, the things that are right, the things that are called for in their area of responsibility. And now I ask you to bless the preaching of your word. I ask in my Savior's name, amen and amen. Back to, let's see, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Let me give you three things with the time that I have. And I'll endeavor to move quickly. Three things. So I'll talk fast, listen fast. Three things about the mother that influences her son. Or may I say in the passage, how Lois and Eunice influenced Timothy. Number one. The mother that is influential in the right way, she is, number one, a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice that the Lord commends in the Bible, and Paul commends in the Bible, Lois and Eunice for unfeigned faith. That is a sincere faith, a genuine faith, no pretense, no hypocrisy. The strongest message that our Lord preached, as far as I can tell, is Matthew chapter 23. And it was not directed at publicans and harlots. It was directed at religious men. And his strongest message is a condemnation of religious hypocrisy. Now listen, today you see me as I am, and I'm dressed for church, and I'm here to serve, and you see my behavior, and you hear my testimony, and I'm grateful for the opportunity. And this is how you know me most of the time. My children are grown, but at home, my children really know me. And you look so handsome this morning. It's such good attendance. And what a handsome congregation. Now, you don't see people assemble like you are in this old world very often today. And I'm grateful for you. You look so sharp. But may I say, kindly, but yet factually, at home, your children know what you are. Children are innocent, and they want things to be right in their innocence. And so hypocrisy discourages them. My theme, again, is be ye steadfast. But yet, if you compare, if you examine someone closely enough, long enough, you'll find some inconsistencies because we're all human. And that's not what I'm talking about. but blatant hypocrisy. To be one way in church and another way at home, to be another way in one location, another place in this location, it discourages children because they aren't motivated by hypocrisy. They want that which is genuine. She's a follower of the Savior. She's a Jewish and she believed. Which believed? A follower of the Savior. Number two, she's a teacher of the Scriptures. And that goes back to chapter 3, verse 14. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Well, where did he learn them? He likely learned them from many, notably Paul the Apostle. But his first teacher was very likely Eunice, his mother. His first teacher, the first one to spend time with him, the first one to sit down with him, the first one to teach him the basic things he needs to know in life, the first one to teach him Bible, it was his mother. She was a teacher of the Scriptures. The Bible says in chapter 3, verse 15, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. So she was teaching him Bible when he was a very young child. Listen, don't pass over that and don't take that lightly. Certainly, you've got to give children Scripture in a way that they can understand it, something at their level. And certainly, you've got to let them make decisions as they will, but you are to give them the instruction that they need. So many people today, I hear people say, well, I'm going to let my children grow up and make their own decisions. They're going to make their own decisions whether you like it or not. But you better give them some good information to make right decisions. And from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. She was a teacher of the Scriptures. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. By the way, the Lord was asked, what is the first commandment? And he quoted Deuteronomy 6, 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. That's Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and thy might. And then verse 6 says this, the words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Verse 7 says this, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And mother and father, you are to train your children. You are to teach them. And you're to endeavor to live before them in a way that is consistent. But the first teacher is very likely mom. And the first one to give any simple presentation of the gospel is more than likely mother. Now, the mother that is influential, the godly mother, she's a follower of the Savior. She's a teacher of the Scriptures. Now, notice something else. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Well, first and foremost, Lois and Eunice. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, now watch this, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. The Holy Scriptures are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Now listen to me, and you've got to listen carefully, you're going to misunderstand. The influential mother, the godly mother, within the context of Timothy and his life, number one, she's a follower of the Savior. Number two, she's a teacher of the Scriptures. Number three, she's a preacher of salvation. I didn't say she was an ordained minister. I didn't say she was a pastor. I said she's a preacher of salvation. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, there are two offices ordained in the local church, bishop and deacon. And concerning both of them, it says the husband of one wife. All of the apostles were men. All of the prophets were men. And so the role of the female, the lady, is different. But wait a minute. Every believer is in some facet, a preacher. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call upon him in whom they're not believed? How shall they believe in him in whom they're not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now, I like that text so much because it so clarifies the process of receiving the Lord Jesus. How shall they call upon him in whom they're not believed? How shall they believe in him in whom they're not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now, the preacher in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, is not necessarily an ordained minister, pastor of the local church, or an evangelist. It could be, but it's not exclusively that. Who's the preacher? Every believer. And very likely, the first one to give a simple presentation of the gospel is mom. But notice, the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. Listen to this. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. Did you get that? Thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. The holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Now, mother's influence, mother's influence. She's a follower of the Savior. She's a teacher of the scriptures. And she's a preacher of salvation, especially with her children. Would you consider that today? You weigh that. You check that out for yourself. When you read the Ten Commandments, there's a division. They're considered to be two tables. And I don't know if that's completely, absolutely accurate, but they're considered to be two tables. There were two tables. The first table deals with a man's relationship with God. The first four, they deal with a man's relationship with God. Then the last six deal with a man's relationship with other men. When you read the last six, which is called the second table, the first one, commandment number five, is this: honor thy father and thy mother. So when you think about man's relationship with men, the second table, man's relationship with men, you'll find the very first commandment is this: honor thy father and thy mother. And it's so very important. Young people, honor mom. Dad, honor mom. Demonstrate appreciation. And mom, be faithful. Be a follower of the Savior. Do you know the Lord today? Is He your Savior? If not, you need to get that settled, and I believe I can help you. You say, He is my Savior. All right, it's another matter to follow Him. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. You're really disciples when you continue in the word. Your influence cannot be overstated. A follower of the Savior, a teacher of the Scriptures, you are very likely the first one to teach your precious son or daughter Bible. Again, you've got to teach it at his or her level, and you've got to let them respond as they will. But you likely are the first teacher, the first teacher. So let's examine ourselves. If you're here today and you're a mother, examine yourself. Unfeigned faith is sincere, it's genuine. Unfeigned faith. And being what God would have you to be. But yet, men, be the men that you should be. Don't be like we assume Timothy's father was. Be involved, be active, be the spiritual leader at your home. And by all means, teach your children in word and deed how to love and honor and appreciate their mother. Young people, honor your father and your mother. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Thank you so much. Would you stand with me, please, for prayer? Every head bowed, please. Every eye closed. What would God ask of you today? Perhaps something that I didn't even get near. But I know this. The answer is surrender. It's surrender. Has there been a time in your life when you heard the gospel? How shall they believe on Him and have they not heard? Have you heard the gospel? The fact that the Lord Jesus Christ paid for your sins on Calvary's cross. The fact that all has sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that's the reason Jesus came. Have you understood that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord? Believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead. Romans chapter 10 verse 9, you say, I believe that. Do you believe it from the heart? Is it important to you? It's essential to the gospel, and it's essential to your salvation. Believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead. Now, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. call upon Him, that is, trust Him. Believe in your heart and confirm that in prayer by acknowledging yourself a sinner, admitting yourself a sinner, acknowledging the finished work of Jesus Christ on that cross, and then making a one-time, sincere, life-changing, conscientious decision to trust Him as your Savior. If you're uncertain about that, won't you get that settled today? Won't you let me or someone here today help you? You say, that is my testimony. All right, to all of you Christians, I'd say, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, be ye steadfast. To the mothers in this room, I'd say, be faithful. To the fathers in this room, I'd say, be faithful. And make your family, as best you can, by the grace of God, make it what God would have it to be. Dear Father in heaven, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for Mother's Day. And I ask you, my Lord, to work your will in our hearts and lives, men and women, fathers and mothers, husbands and wives, sons and daughters, single individuals. Father, I ask you to work your will in our lives. Help us to be for you what we should be. Help us, Father, to bless our children and our families. And help us to apply this well. Father, we are so grateful for the influence of mother. I'm grateful for the mothers in my life and how they have influenced me. And I'm grateful, so very grateful, for the mothers of the Northview Baptist Church. What a great encouragement they are. Now, my Father, as we come to the invitation, help us to examine ourselves and help us to surrender. Help us to make commitments. And help us, dear Father, to be mindful of the roles you've given us. Help us to honor mom. We ask this in our Savior's name. Amen and amen. Let's sing a couple of verses of hymn number 476. I surrender all. Let's